Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm talking with Sam Clovis about his campaign. This is part two of a two-part interview.
And something that's been discussed recently, would you have any remarks regarding the renewable fuel standards?
I'm glad you asked about that. The renewable fuel standard, as you know, is the outgrowth of legislation in 2005 and 2007, bipartisan legislation, I might add. And really is when you take a look at the dependence on foreign oil, we have to offer other options at the pump. And we just finished filling up with 10% ethanol here in Washington. To me, you know, this is really what it's about. There are no subsidies for corn ethanol today. There are none. I mean, no tariffs, no subsidies. There is still a subsidy in place or a tax credit for biodiesel produced with soybeans. And the main effect of the EPA's modification of the RFS, the renewable fuel standard, is really in the biomass area. In the biomass area, simply, we don't have the capability to produce it right now. So they're really not changing anything. What they're doing is they're just making modifications based on realistic production. I don't want them to mess with the RFS until such time as we have a comprehensive energy policy in this country. And the other part of this is that we have to take a hard look at the 100 years of subsidies that have gone to oil companies, because oil is still getting subsidized. Oil production is still getting subsidized today. And I think that this really creates an unfavorable competitive situation. And I think supporting the RFS makes sense, because we want choices, and we want choices that reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Until such time as we have a fully comprehensive energy program in this country, until such time as we can remove those subsidies for oil, then I think we need to be strong supporters of corn-based ethanol and biodiesel, and support the biomass production as it comes online. Then those mandates can be adjusted accordingly.
And kind of switching gears, with your background in some security field, can you give us some thoughts on the NSA?
Well, I think I've been a strong opponent of the whole issue of the USA Patriot Act. I was involved early on in the Homeland Security business. I really started working in Homeland Security in 2003. This was shortly after the Department of Homeland Security was stood up. I started working I went back to industry for a couple of years and worked at Booz Allen Hamilton, and then Northrop Grumman again. And then at the Homeland Security Institute, I was the 25th employee hired there at that think tank, and was a fellow with the Homeland Security Institute. So I've done a lot of work in this area, and I have been a strong opponent of this whole notion of spying on Americans. I feared, and I made very public my position in 2003, that after the USA Patriot Act was passed, that the potential for abuse was so high that we should oppose this bill, because I was worried about exactly what's happened. And I think this is one of those things that really is troubling to me. I was at a town hall yesterday. I was asked the very question about my position on spying by federal agencies, and I'm adamantly opposed to it. When I was in the military, we had to sign papers that we would never spy on Americans. So why is it that from the 1980s and 90s, suddenly we have an event, 9/11 occurs, and suddenly it's okay to spy on Americans? I think that's unconstitutional, and we should oppose that at every turn. If you commit a crime and you commit an act that then raises itself to the point of probable cause, the Fourth Amendment protections are there, and if you cross that threshold, then you probably ought to be examined. And that's different, because that's quite different than universal hoovering, is what we call it, where you hoover, vacuum clean everything that's out there. Every electron is hoovered into a bin and then sorted later. Now, that's not right, and that's not appropriate, and I really think that any administration, Republican or Democrat, that does that is really stepped over the line.
And in closing, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just think it's important for people to understand that they have to make choices out there. I would say if you want to learn more about me, go to samclovis.com. It's easy to find. You can also text Sam at 313131 if you want to do that. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. But I do think what's important is the choices that people have to make. People are going to have to make a decision on whether they want an establishment-backed and supported candidate, or someone new, someone fresh, someone who is not tainted and will not be tainted by the trappings of office and what goes on in there. One of the great factors in my life is the fact that I had an opportunity to have a great career and a great opportunity to do things in my life. And frankly, this job is just, to me, it's just another position. I'm going to be serving as a person who is going to be elected by the people to serve the people. I'm not in this for me. And I think that's critical because, and I'll tell you why, is that I've been twice the speed of sound. I've seen the curve of the earth. You know, I've been 1,000 miles an hour this far off the ground, and I'm married to the love of my life. They have nothing to give me I don't already have. So I just don't see my head getting turned when I go to Washington, D.C.
That's been today's Washington Page interview with Sam Clovis. This is part 2 of a 2-part interview. I'm Sally Hart with KCII News.